Good to have you here this morning, and I want to mention, adjust the windows as you need. Scott already did his over there, so whatever works for you, just be comfortable, and that's what we want. We did not turn the air on because I think at 9 o'clock it was 52 degrees, so anyway, that was a beautiful, beautiful morning, but good to have you here this morning. Ephesians chapter 6, please. Ephesians chapter 6. A very familiar passage about the spiritual warfare of Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll spend some time there, and we are good to have you here this morning. Verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 6 says this, "Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Let's pray. I do thank thee so much for your love, and we thank thee so much for the privilege to be here this morning, Lord, to open your word. And Lord, as we spend time in this passage, Lord, may our hearts be open, and Lord, may we allow you to teach us and instruct us and also challenge us and Lord, also change us, Lord, that we might be able to be used in a greater way. And Lord, we just ask you to bless our time together, that it might be profitable. We ask in Jesus' precious name, amen. Lord willing, we'll be spending the next several weeks in this passage, but I want to give you a little bit of the background, which helps you understand its placement of this book. As you note, the Apostle Paul, the author of the book of Ephesians, writes to those at Ephesus, and you know, it is one of the churches that he was instrumental in having a great impact upon and working in. The first three chapters that he writes to them, chapters 1, 2, and 3, are very much doctrinal passages, and if you take and read the first book, the first three chapters, you'll note in those three chapters, he gives us at least 25 blessings that we have in Jesus Christ. And you'll note a chosen in him, adopted in him, and you'll note the list goes on of many, many things. There's 25 that I have come up with and others have come up with, blessings that we have in Jesus Christ as Christians. Then you'll find in chapter 4, he begins a practical session or section which goes to the end of the chapter, really, but is practical living in light of these blessings. In other words, on the basis of this doctrinal section that he has given us of all the wonderful things that we have in Christ, then he goes on, here's how you are to live. And he gives us many things. He uses the word walk. He tells us different walks that ought to characterize the Christian. In other words, this is how you ought to live. And I'll just give you some at a later date. We will probably preach on one of these each Sunday for a series. But you'll note there is, we are to walk worthy or of equal weight of Him, or walk a life that's going to represent Him. We are also to walk, you'll note, in unity. And there's a section on unity within the church. We're also to walk in service. We are to serve the Lord. We are to walk in holiness. That's holy living. We are to walk in love, and we're to walk in light, and we're to walk in wisdom, and we're to walk in the Spirit. And you'll know each of those are addressed in those chapters when you take 4 and 5 on how we are to live as a Christian. But then he kind of, after spending the time on the spiritual life of the home, he begins this passage in chapter 6, verse 10, about a warfare. In other words, very simply, you and I, if we seek to walk worthy of the name of Jesus Christ, to characterize him and live the way he asks us to, we are going to be in a real battle. And that is the section that we're going to look at. We are all in a battle, whether we want to admit it or whether we face it or think about it. When you and I strive to be like Christ, to grow in Christ, and to be used by Christ, and to be involved in his cause, we're going to realize that we are going to be in a battle. It is very interesting. We started a series several weeks ago, not only in Sunday school, but also in the evening service. One was the knowledge of the holy, and the second part was, of course, beholding God and getting to know God. That series, we are getting to know the absolute God of the universe, and we are also going to be confronted by the absolute enemy of the God of the universe. Satan himself is not going to want us to grow and know and walk with God. It's been interesting for me to watch some of the battles that have been going on. If you don't understand that or hadn't really thought about it, I want you to think about it this morning. The battles that you have been facing because you are trying to grow in Christ. You've been facing battles. So have we been facing battles. That's part of the Christian life, because Satan hates growth, and anything to do with Jesus Christ, he's going to oppose. And we are in a real battle. We are opposed by him. Our flesh opposes us. The world opposes us, and we're in this real battle. Jesus began his ministry being tempted, and at the end of his ministry, he was tempted once again in the garden in a very real way. And we need to realize our whole life, if he was tempted and tested and tried, so will we be. And that's the battle we find. But through Christ, we can have victory. And Satan is a defeated foe, but he is very much active in our day until he's ultimately chained in prison forever in eternal damnation in hell. Until that time, we are going to battle him throughout our lifetime until the rapture or the Lord takes us home in death. Now, I want to spend some time in this passage, and we're going to just start the first part of it this morning. I'm going to bring out six things concerning this battle. First of all, you note our preparation. Here's our preparation for this battle. Since I am a Christian, and since I desire to know him and walk with him and please him and bring glory to his name, I'm going to be in a battle, and here's my strength. First of all, I want to note this, our preparation. Here's what he says. Finally, brethren, in other words, I don't want you to miss this. This is really important. Be strong. What's it say? My brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Very simply, I cannot defeat this foe by myself. It's impossible. And to be unprepared is to be vulnerable for defeat. And to be standing in my own strength is going to ensure that I am going to fail. If you think that you can beat Satan and win over the wiles of the devil, you are deceived. He is much, much more powerful than you. That's why we need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's how we stand. In other words, he'd put it this way, be powerful in the Lord. Since you have a real battle here, that you are battling a real foe and a real enemy who is trying to stop you any way he possibly can, he doesn't care who he uses, when he uses, and how he uses to defeat you. Guess what? You cannot win by yourself. You must be strong in the Lord. And in his strength, in his wisdom, we can stand. Be strong in his power and his might. We have union with him when we put our trust in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit was placed within us. We have the ability to stand and the ability through Christ to get the victory. Now let me give you some verses. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, you know, I can do all things through Christ. Doesn't say because I'm talented or gifted or I'm strong or I'm determined or I can do it. No, I can do all things through Christ. This is the Apostle Paul saying, I can do all things through Christ. What we find is John chapter 15, verse 5. We know the verse, without me, you can do what? Nothing. You and I cannot accomplish anything in our life that is lasting in our own strength. We have to be strong in the Lord. Paul puts it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. But then what's the next verse? Wherefore, my beloved brother, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know your labor's not in vain. But where's our strength? Our strength is in the Lord. And that's where we're going to be able to stand. Paul tells Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:1, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. I know a lot of times we talk about or mention or refer to a devotional time. A devotional time where we as a Christian set aside some time and spend time with the Lord. Why are we doing that? Well, number one is we need him. And without him, we cannot make it. Without him, we will not succeed. Without him, we will not be used. Without him, we will not stand. We need him. And when we have a devotional time, spending time in his word, allowing him to speak to us and us talking to him in prayer, we're really proclaiming this, that Lord, without you, I'm not going to make it. It's our declaration of absolute dependence upon him for success spiritually. And Paul says, finally, brother, if you're going to live for the Lord, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, because that's the way to victory. And if you do not spend time with the Lord, you are not going to get victory, nor will you accomplish anything lasting for Christ, because without him, you can do nothing. That's our preparation. Secondly is our provision. The armor of God, that is our provision. Here's what he says. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Put on the armor of God. God has given us all we need for victory. God has given us the supply. He has given us what we need to get victory over this very formidable foe. This enemy of ours who is stronger than us, more powerful than us, has more wisdom than us, we can get victory through Christ. Be strong in the Lord, but it says put on the whole armor of God. Now you say, what is the armor of God? Well, do you realize, we're going to get to that in another week, but God has given us all I need for success. Do you realize if you are a child of God, you have been given the Holy Spirit to dwell within you? And greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world, 2 John 4:4. The Holy Spirit is more powerful than Satan himself. You also have the Word of God, the Word of God that's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, that has the ability to divide. It can reveal and lay open our wrong, and may open our lives before God and reveal to us our need. It's powerful, it's quick, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder joints and marrow and soul and spirit. It can divide and reveal and lay open. And I have the Word of God to guide me and direct me. I have the Holy Spirit to work in me and guide me and lead me and take the Word of God and open it up and show me God's will for my life. But I also have the Holy Spirit dwelling within me. I have the Word of God, but I also have Jesus Christ is praying for me. He's interceding. That ought to humble you. Do you realize Jesus Christ himself, according to Hebrews chapter 7, he is interceding. He's praying for you. You think you're important? You're loved with an everlasting love. You are his child. And he is praying for you. Now, let me ask you. I do it all the time. Pray for us. And we Jay and I really need prayer right now. We have huge needs, circumstances, which we have mentioned. Some you do not know about. But you know what a blessing it is to have people to pray for you. But I'll tell you, there is a greater blessing. Jesus Christ himself is interceding before the Father on my behalf. So if you ever feel down and nobody cares, nobody loves, nobody is concerned, I want you to know there is someone who's praying for you. He's interceding for you. I mean, you think of having the Holy Spirit dwell within you. You have the Word of God to guide you. You have the whole, Jesus Christ himself is praying for you. And we also have the power of our own prayer. We can come boldly to Jesus Christ, to the throne room of heaven, through Christ, with our needs. And according to Hebrews chapter 4, we can find mercy and grace and help in the time of need. In other words, when you need it, it's there. So with that, I have tremendous, tremendous resources. I can succeed. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and put on the armor of God, because you have the resources you need to be successful. As a child of God, we're to be dominated by the Word, empowered by the Holy Spirit, upheld by the Son, walking in his will. That is how we are to march in this battle. I'd like it as number three. Not only our preparation to spend time with him, our provision is given to us, but our prerequisite is this: put on the whole armor of God, not just some. We're to put on the whole or the total amount of the Word of God. We're to do this personally, and we're to do it permanently. It is a Greek imperative. It is not a question. This is an absolute. You are to absolutely, as a Christian, to be successful, you and I are to put on the whole armor of God. Put it all on. Not just part. Put it all on to be successful. Number four is this, is our purpose. Our purpose is to stand or to hold our critical position while under attack. We are to stand even in an evil day, but we are to stand. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. That means hold your position regardless of the circumstances around you, regardless of the attack, regardless of the attack from whomever, regardless of what the enemy throws at you, regardless of the day you're living in, you and I are to hold our position. We are to stand. That's why we need the preparation of spending time with the Lord. We need to rely and take our resources and incorporate them, because we are to put on the whole armor of God, so we stand in an evil day. We are to hold our position without surrender and without defeat. He says, stand. I like to notice our problem. Not only our preparation, our provision, our prerequisite is to put on all on, our purpose is to stand, but what's our problem? Our problem is Satan. And here's what he says. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And always opening up, this is your real enemy. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. We have a real enemy, and his devil is behind it all. And we need to realize he is our enemy, who is out to destroy, or to hinder, out to stop us from having any impact for Almighty God, because he hates God. And he is going to hate you and I, and we are to marvel not if the world hate us, because they hate God. And so beware of it. We have a very impressive enemy by the name of Satan. Satan is our true enemy, And he, because he is the enemy of God and we are his child, he is going to take it out on us. So beware. And he will use anyone or anything to try to hinder our impact for Christ. Here's where sometimes we have a problem, at least I do, is I see a flesh enemy. And I can name you the flesh enemy. That's not really the enemy. That person is someone that Satan is using. And see, often we'll get all bent out of shape because we're really focusing upon this fleshly enemy that we see. And they're real. But we need to back up just a little and say, okay, that's not really my real enemy. They're a tool in the hand of Satan that Satan is using to discourage, to get me off track, to stop me, to keep me from success. And I need to understand that we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood. Our real enemy is not that person. Even though we know them well, even though we see them, even though we have to deal with them, they're not really our enemy. It is Satan, and Satan is trying to use them to impact us, to stop us, to destroy us, and to keep us from having any impact for Christ, and so he's out to defeat us. And it says he uses the wiles. Now, what is the wiles? Well, in the Greek, you'll note it literally means the methods. He doesn't care who he uses, and he doesn't care what method he uses. He really has no guidelines. He has no particular rule that he will not step over the line. No, he will do anything to hinder your spiritual walk, because it is a spiritual warfare. And he's very, the wiles means also crafty, cunning, deceptiveness. It is like a cunning of an animal to get its prey. Like 1 Peter chapter 5, be vigilant and we're to be sober because our adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's using cunning and crafty and the wiles of the devil. He was the anointed cherub. He tried to usurp the throne of God and had to be cast out of heaven. And the passages you'll find that is in Isaiah chapter 14 and Ezekiel 28. And in Revelation chapter 12, we find that he is the accuser of the brethren, who accuses us before God, and eventually he'll be cast out and not able to accuse us anymore in Revelation chapter 12. He first appeared in the form of a snake. You wonder why you have a natural fear of snakes. You should, because this is how Satan appeared. You'll note that he opposes God in every way. He is called the opposer, Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. He also perverts God's word in Matthew chapter 4. When he tempted the Lord, he perverted and twisted scripture. You'll note that he hinders God's servants in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 18. Paul says Satan did hinder us. He stopped us from doing and going this particular direction. You'll note that he also snares the wicked in 1 Timothy chapter 3. He also hinders the gospel in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. He blinds men of the truth, so they don't understand and don't see it. You'll note that he appears as an angel of light in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. In other words, a way to deceive people is to appear holy and righteous, and appears as an angel of light. He fought against Michael the angel in Jude 9. He brought sin into the world in Genesis chapter 3 and 1 John chapter 5. He is called in Scripture by many names. He's the anointed cherub. He is the ruler of demons. He's the ruler of this world. He's the god of this world. He's the prince and power of the air. He's the great dragon, the roaring lion, the vile one, the tempter, the accuser, the spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience. He's called 52 times in Scripture. He's called Satan, or the adversary. That's what it means. He's called 35 times devil, which means slanderer. He has fallen angels or demons at his disposal, and he uses them effectively, confusing truth, deceiving people, promoting false doctrine. He is active, and we're in a real battle against principalities, it says, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. He is personal. He's powerful. He's formidable. He is invisible. We have a real foe. And we have to realize we need the Lord. You need the Lord. And if you're ever tempted to just skip devotions, I want you to realize you are opening yourself up to failure and to sin. You must be strong in the Lord. And in His power, you're able to stand against this defeated foe. The sixth one I want to mention is this, is what is our priority? It is to stand in an evil day. I never ever thought growing up, I would see a day as evil as I see now. We are seeing evil on display publicly all over America. It's not a shock when we have, as a nation, thrown out God, or tried to. We took God out of the public school. No longer could you read the Bible or could you pray. That battle is still raging. We allowed people for convenience to kill babies in America. We have thrown God out of and tried to make it illegal for God to be displayed in any public place, such as the manger, such as having the Ten Commandments in courtrooms. We have tried to remove God from every aspect and train our children that they actually came about by some big bang and from an ape. And then we wonder why they act like it. We are watching evil on display, literally. We do live in an evil day. Paul is writing hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years ago. And he says, you have to stand in an evil day. And let me say, it is here on display, but we are still to stand. You have all the resources. I have all the resources I need to stand against this formidable foe. And I am to stand. I can't walk in wisdom. I can't walk in light. I can't, as a Christian, walk holy. I can't walk worthy of the name of Jesus Christ. I can't walk in the Spirit. I cannot walk in such a way that I portray Him to a lost and dying world. Without Him, I must put on the whole armor of God. It's an absolute necessity. Our preparation is to be strong in the Lord, daily walking with Him. Our provision is God has given us all we need. The prerequisite is we must put it all on, not just part of it. Our purpose is to stand. Our problem is Satan. Our priority is we are to do all to stand. We are to make every effort to stand for Christ. Now here's the tragedy, is when we do not walk with the Lord, we falter. We all have besetting sins or sins that we have had to fight with in the past, and we fight with, and you will fight because Satan knows where he won before and he's going to come there. And it's very easy when we don't walk with the Lord, to fall again. And then when that becomes a pattern, we give up. We give up. And we say, it's not worth it. I can't win. The problem is this, is we got such a small view of God. See, there is nothing or no sin that's too big for God to forgive you of, or for God to give you victory over. To deny and to say, I'm an exception, is to deny the truth of Scripture and to deny God. Through Christ, who dwells within you in the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, through prayer of yore and prayer intercession of Jesus Christ himself, you and I can get victory. And if we're going to have an impact, we must. We must. You say, well, Pastor, I need help. Well, then get help. Get help. But I want to say this. There's no excuse for failure. And we must stand in the evil day. Every head bowed, every eye closed, please. We'll spend time, Lord willing. We will continue on in this passage probably for at least 3 more weeks. As we put on the whole armor of God, not just some of it. Put it all on. Now I want to ask you this question. How did it go this past week? Where was the victory? Where was the impact? Or where was the defeat? Now my question is, will you, understanding that you cannot win over this formidable foe in your own strength, will you, like never before, start the day preparing for battle? That's where it starts. How many say, Pastor Moeller, the Lord has spoken to me, and you said, Pastor, I've been struggling, man. There's been some things going on, and I think part of it is because I've been getting to know the Lord in a very real way, to grow in him, to be used by him. And you said, Pastor, I've been in a real battle. And to some extent, I've been losing. But I'm going to take the challenge that Paul gives us, finally, my brother, and be strong in the Lord. I'm going to start tomorrow, to start the day gathering my strength from him, that I might get victory in the real battle. Will you raise your hands, Pastor? I have that need. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, people. I usually see people first, and so do you. But I need to look beyond that person. The real battle is Satan. Only through Christ can I get the victory. Our Father, do thank this so much for your love. And we do thank this much for the privilege to preach and teach, and Lord, to be challenged. Lord, we need to realize as Christians that the battle is real. Our foe is formidable. But Lord, you've already promised to give us victory. You've already won. And Lord, so can we. And Lord, help us prepare ourselves like never before, because of the day we're living in. We need you like never before. And Lord, may we have victory, Lord, over the battles we face, Lord, that you might do a wonderful work in us to change us, to be like you, to be used by you. And Lord, may we grow. And Lord, may we be used in a real way. Be with each hand that went up. Lord, give us victory this week. And Lord, help us to start the day spending time with you, trusting in you, walking with you. Lord, that through you, we'll get the victory. Give us a great day in thy name. Amen.